Once upon a time, there was a postman. And the postman's job was every day to heave a huge sack of letters onto his back and go trudging out into the early morning. Every morning he'd be out there delivering the letters one by one, by fistfuls, by handfuls, by bunches, through people's letterboxes. And as the morning wore on, why, his sack, it would get smaller and smaller and smaller. Trudging through the lanes and the streets from one neighbourhood to the other, the postman would find himself having less and less in the sack, less of a load to carry. And that was a good thing, because the more he walked, why, the tireder he became. So it was a small mercy that the sack just got smaller and smaller. And by the end of it, well, he could gratefully drag himself back to the post office and sign off for the day. However, one morning, something rather extraordinary occurred. He'd been through most of the streets and most of the neighbourhoods. He'd delivered virtually all of the letters in his sack. In fact, he was just down to the very last few. And yet the sack felt strangely heavy. He figured there must be some parcel down there at the bottom. And so as he completed his round, the very last few streets, until it was the very last few houses, the pile of letters got smaller and smaller until there was just one left. And as he delivered that, he expected his whole sack to feel light on his back, but it still had a weight in it. There was still something there. And the postman, he got kind of curious about this, and he swung the sack off his back, and right there in the middle of the street, he opened it up and he looked inside, and what did he see? There was something glinting down there. Something glinting. He opened the mouth of the sack wider so more light could get in, and what did he see in there? There was a piece of gold, a chunk of gold that you could pick up and hold in your hand. And that's exactly what he did. He picked it up, he held it in his hand, he looked at it, but he couldn't see any name on it, no address, and this was quite distressing for him, because his job was to deliver what he'd been given. To deliver what was in the sack. And how could he deliver this when he didn't even know whose it was and what name it had and what address was written? There was nothing. It was just a lump of gold. Well, this was so curious that he glanced left and right just to make sure no one had seen him doing this strange thing with this lump of gold that probably he shouldn't even have touched. And he put it back in the sack and he swung the bag over his shoulder. And he thought, well, I'll just go back to the post office. I'll just go back to the post office and I'll hand it back in and say, listen, I'm really sorry. This didn't have an address on it. And he was thinking about this so hard that at one point he just didn't realize that he'd slipped on something. And whoosh, over he went, down on all fours, down on the street. And the sack, it went off his back, and the piece of gold, it just rolled away down the pavement and splosh into a drain and was gone. And the postman, he just picked himself up off the pavement and he just stared at the sack and he stared at the path the gold had taken as it rolled down the street. And as soon as he saw that, he was off his feet and he ran to the drain and he stared down and he even tried to stick his head in his arms and he couldn't even get down. It was too small and he couldn't see anything. And then he just started weeping there on the side of the road. And what was he going to do now? And oh, this was terrible. And there was a piece of gold down there. Was he supposed to be delivering it? Oh. He sat by the side of the road for so long, just wondering what to do, figuring out how he could get into the drains, and he couldn't think of any possible way he could, until at last he just decided he would just go back to the post office, hand in his sack. "Everything all right today?" said the postmaster. "Oh, yeah, fine," he said, "fine, just fine." And he didn't tell anybody. And all that night, He couldn't sleep for worrying and fretting and tossing and turning in his bed and thinking, what was he going to do now? Someone out there was waiting for a piece of gold to be delivered, and he'd failed in his duty. But who would have a piece of gold when it had no name on it? And what was it all about anyway? It was kind of a mystery to him. Until the next day he was out in his round, and he was bleary-eyed, could hardly walk straight, had a huge big sack of letters on his back, and all he could think about was the piece of gold. All he could think about, even as he posted his letters through the letterboxes, knowing that perhaps there was someone there the other side of the letterbox, grateful to receive the letters from him, he took no pleasure in that whatsoever. It was the gold that he felt he should be delivering. Someone out there was waiting for their gold. Well, this weighed on him so heavily and all. It weighed on him so heavily that as the days went past, he had very little sleep in the nights because he was fretting over it. And during the days, why, he was practically dragging himself from one letterbox to the next. Bleary-eyed, face full of worry, fretting over what he'd done. Now, there was an old woman who, although most people might not have noticed their postman, she very much did. She liked the look of him, thought he had an interesting and a kind face. And she'd sit by her window every morning because she didn't have a great deal else to do and not a great deal of people came to visit, and she'd sit and she'd wait. She'd wait and she'd watch, and soon when the postman came, it was her pleasure just to sit and look at him, knowing that he probably didn't notice her, but she could just watch him. See how he was doing today. Wonder, perhaps, the kind of man he was. And so, of all the residents of the houses to which he would deliver letters, she noticed this dramatic change in him more than any other. She noticed that at a certain point he started looking very worried, very distracted, very distressed, very tired. Every day she'd sit by her window and would feel an increasing concern for the young man. Perhaps something terrible was wrong. Perhaps some disaster had befallen him. She didn't know. She could only speculate. But she began to be more and more worried about him, turning up every day, looking more and more distressed. And so, one morning, when he came to the door to post the usual letters and bills and whatever else he had for her, she came to the door and opened it just at the moment that he arrived. "Hello," she said. "Hello," he said, and he was just about to give her the letters. And she said, "Young man, you don't know this, but I've been watching you. I've been watching you every morning delivering my letters, and I can't help noticing that you've started to look rather worried the last few days. And I thought to myself that maybe I should ask you if anything is really the matter with you. If you're troubled or if some terrible thing has happened, and if maybe perhaps I could help." The postman, he stared at her. And in all that time he'd never told a soul. But here, she looked so kind, this old lady. She looked so sweet and so harmless and so well-meaning and all, that in that moment, why, his mouth, it just unzipped itself. And he told her the whole story about the piece of gold, about it falling out of the bag and going down the drain and how he just didn't know what to do about it. And the old woman, why, she looked at him, and for a moment it seemed like she was thinking very hard. And then all of a sudden her face snapped into a different expression, and she said, "Do you know what?" "What?" he said. "That piece of gold? It was mine!"
"Yours?" he said.
"Yes," she said. "I was expecting it, and you've not delivered it to me. So where is it?" Well, I just told you, it went down the drain and I did everything I could to figure out how I could get it back, but I just didn't know what to do. And she said, no, no, it's all right. Calm down. You do owe me something, though. You owe me quite a lot. Well, I guess I do, but listen, I can't give you any gold. I don't have that kind of money. She said, it's all right, it's all right. Come inside now. And he went inside, and he was really shaken, he was, and she poured him a cup of tea, and as he took it, it was just rattling on the saucer. He was so trembling. And she said, listen, maybe there's something else you can give me. What are you good at? Good at? He said. And he looked pretty blank right then. Yes, she said. What do you love to do? What do you really enjoy to do and do well? Oh, he said, well, I love to paint. In fact, my mother always said I was very good at it. It's just I didn't think I was really good enough to go to college and study and all. And I need to have a job, and so I don't get much time to paint anymore. Right, she said, snapping her fingers, her whole face lighting up. That's what you can do for me. What? Said the young man. You can paint me a picture. What? He said, I haven't painted in years. Nope, she said, I want a painting, and I want it by tomorrow. Be sure you bring it with you when you do your rounds. And that was that. That was that. The poor postman went away, scratching his head and wondering what to do next. But the truth was, he wasn't nearly so distressed anymore. If it was the old woman's gold that he'd lost, and this was what she wanted in its place, why then at least he had a purpose now. And so back home he went, and he did something he hadn't done in years. He went up to his attic and he pulled down all the painting stuff and all the papers that he hadn't touched in all that time, and he spread them out on the table and he just stared at the blank paper. What was he to paint? He didn't even know. But just then he looked out the window and he saw the trees, they were just turning golden. And he figured, why, I could paint those golden leaves. They look so lovely there, rustling and shaking on the trees, turning autumnal. I'll paint that. And so that's what he did. And the longer he painted, why, the more beautiful the picture became. Until, by the end of the day, why, he'd painted such a lovely picture, he could hardly take his eyes off it. He could hardly believe it was he that had done it. So he packed it up nice and carefully, and all the next morning, as he was heaving his big sack around, he also had that picture wrapped up like a parcel under his arm. Well, by the time he came to the end of his round and was just coming into the street where the old lady lived, he was just wondering what she'd make of it, whether she'd be satisfied, whether she'd think it was good enough. When he came to her house, he handed her the parcel. For me? She said. Oh, wonderful, she said, and she unwrapped it right there and then on the doorstep. Well, when she saw what he'd painted, you could see her face shining like gold itself, as if the light from that picture was reflected in her face. It's good, she said. It's really very good. And then her face suddenly changed, and she said, but I know you can do better. I know you can do better. Paint me another picture and deliver it tomorrow. Well, the postman went away and his whole body was slack, and he almost dragged himself back to the post office to hand in his bag and go home. How could he paint a better picture than that? He had no idea, no idea in the world what he could paint. How could he possibly do better? That was the best thing he'd ever made. And yet, he had lost the old woman's gold. He knew he had to do what she asked. And so he took out the paper and he took out the paints and he wondered what he should paint. And just then he noticed there was a candle unlit in the middle of his table. His eyes went towards it, and without knowing quite what he was doing, he lit it and began to paint. Good thing it was a candle too, because he worked so hard rubbing things out and redoing them, always trying to do it better and better, that as the day went on, it soon turned to night, and he found himself working and working long into the night, working, and the candle burned and burned and burned. By the time the dawn came, he had painted a picture that was quite beyond anything he thought he could ever paint. So lovely and so beautiful that he could hardly believe it was he that had done it. The next morning, he's out on his round, and he has the parcel under his arm and the sack on his back. Well, by the time he gets to the old woman's house, she's already waiting on the doorstep. "Do you have it?" she said, her face all beaming. But when she takes the picture and unwraps it, what does she see? A picture so beautiful that she cannot help but gasp out loud. "Oh, my word," she said. And her face, it's all illuminated with joy, with happiness, with wonder at what she's seeing. For some minutes, she's just standing there, and there's tears rolling down her face. But then all of a sudden, her face, it changes. She said, "It's very good," she said, "but I know you can do better." "What?" he said. "I couldn't do better. I stayed up all night. Oh, what do you want me to do next?" She said, "You lost my gold. I want another one, even better than the last." And now he's walking away and he's in a daze. He can hardly believe what he's just heard. He's walking away, staggering back to the post office and handing in his sack. "Everything all right there?" And he's, "Oh, yeah, fine. Everything's just fine." And he went back home and he just stared into space. How could he possibly make a better picture? He put everything he had into that picture. He didn't have a better picture inside of him. Well, he was so distressed and all that he couldn't think of what to do, and he just went out into the park and he went on a long walk. And as he was out in the park, what did he see? There was the most lovely pussycat there. A ginger tabby cat, all lovely and golden in the sunlight. Every time she passed through a pool of sunlight, why, this cat would shine like a living piece of gold. And he thought her so lovely that he could hardly take his eyes off her. And when she came over to the bench, he was so delighted that he couldn't help stroking her and telling her how lovely she was. Well, after a while he remembered what it was that he had to do that day, and he picked himself up and he dragged himself back home. But quite to his surprise, the lovely tabby cat came with him. She followed him all the way home. And when he arrived home, why, she wanted to go inside. She wanted to make herself quite comfortable, and she was so lovely that he just couldn't say no. Well, he came in, and it was then that the night with no sleep, it finally hit him. And he just slumped down on the sofa, and he fell fast asleep. When he awoke some hours later, the cat was still sitting there on his lap. He found himself waking up and stroking her, and when he finally woke up, it was to the sound of her purring, such a sweet and lovely sound as he had never heard before. "Oh, cat," he said, "what on earth am I to do? What could I possibly paint now?" And as if she understood him, that lovely cat. She jumped up from his lap, and she climbed up onto the table that was just there by the window, and she stood perfectly still. "Oh, cat, you don't mean I should paint you?" The cat just purred. "Oh, all right then," he said. And he took the paper and he took the paints and he set about working. But the funny thing was that every so often after he'd done a bit more painting, the cat would suddenly jump up from the table and come round and sit on his lap. And she'd look at what he'd painted, and she seemed to like what she was seeing, because she'd purr, and he'd stroke her, and he said, "What a lovely cat you are. What a lovely cat you are." And then back she'd go and sit on the table, and he'd paint a bit more, but after a while she'd come back to his lap. And so it went on, like this, all through the night. But by the time the painting was complete, why, he was happy, and so was the cat. And he fell asleep once more, stroking her, until sleep overcame him. Well, the next morning he's out on his round, and he's got the biggest parcel under his arm now, and the sack, it's getting lighter and lighter, but the parcel under his arm, it's still pretty heavy, because it's the biggest of all the pictures he's done. And he's thinking and wondering to himself, is the old woman going to like this? Is she going to be satisfied? What's she going to say this time? And when he finally gets to her house and he goes up to her door and he knocks on the door, what happens? When she opens the door and unwraps the parcel and sees the painting, why, there's no pretending this time. She cannot help but weep and weep at the beauty and the loveliness of what she sees. Finally, wiping the tears from her eyes, she said, This is the picture I knew you could paint me. And she invites him in for another cup of tea, and he's all happy now, and the cup isn't trembling in the saucer. Oh no, he's so happy and relieved that she's finally satisfied with what he's giving her. "Do you know," she said, "my brother's coming round this afternoon, and he's very, very rich. He loves pictures, and he'll pay a great price for a good one. Maybe when he sees your picture, he'll want more from you." "Oh, I couldn't possibly. I have a job to do." She said, "He'd pay a very good price, I'm sure." Well, the young man could only sit and wonder. And when the rich brother came round that afternoon, why, he liked the picture so much that he at once commissioned 12 new ones. And he offered so much money that the young man could give up his job as a postman and become a painter. And that's what he did. He painted 12 such lovely pictures that the rich brother could hardly contain his delight. He told all his friends, who also liked pictures and also had a lot of money, and before you knew it, why, the young man, he could paint and paint to his heart's content. And some days, when he'd look out the window and see the gold of the sunshine illuminating the whole world, he would think about that piece of gold that he'd found one day in his postman's sack. He'd think about the old woman and what she'd said and what she'd done and how she'd done it, and wonder if perhaps she was an angel in disguise.